You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 467.
Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth.
If you're still chasing stages in 2026, you might already be behind because the speakers getting heard, remembered, and paid today are doing something very different in 2026. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast for women in business who are ready to scale with strategy, leadership, and clarity. Now, today, I'm super excited to bring on the amazing human, Jacqueline Brooker, who's going to be talking to us about the new rules of speaking in 2026. It's going to be an epic episode if you are about wanting to speak on more stages or just increasing your voice and speaking anywhere in 2026. Jacqueline is a multi-generational entrepreneur and a certified speaking professional. She's helped thousands of experts and entrepreneurs become paid in-demand speakers, and her work spans from TEDx, coaching, keynote speaking, corporate storytelling, and sales psychology. She has also appeared in media more than 3,000 times. Welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Hey, my friend. Happy to have you back for a second time in studio.
I am so excited. I love our conversations.
Oh, seriously, you and I, we just pressed record 15 minutes after we were due to start. So you and I always seem to be able to talk. Do you know what I mean? That is not something that is a problem for either of us. We do it quite well. Now, I'm excited because even from last year when we had you on the podcast to where we are in 2026, things are changing in the space of the speaking world. And I'm glad that you're here today because I know a lot of listeners are always looking at ways to be able to speak on stages. And you often talk, it doesn't have to be big stages. It could be webinars. It can be wherever you're able to use your voice and get in front of your ideal audience, right? But things are changing in this space. And so I want to start here. I want to start to understand, what do the highest performing speakers understand that everyone else is still treating as optional?
Yeah, look, at high performance, and thank you for also just reiterating that it's not just big stages, like it's any stage or any platform or any room that you can actually be at the front of, right? And what do the high performing ones do differently? And what I've noticed over the last 18 months is the high performing speakers are those who actually treat it like a business. Mm-hmm. So it's a revenue stream for your business. It's a publicity machine for your business. It's part of your business, not something you add on. The other thing that they do is they understand that they need to start, and this is a shift we work with people all the time, you need to stop selling and talking about your ideas and your experience and start speaking to problems and showcasing solutions, right? Mm-hmm. Because too many people are out there, and you and I, this is why we talk so much, too many people are out there just literally almost running you through a CV or running you through the logic or running you through the data, or like, this is my experience and this is my idea and this is how we're going to change the world and I'm really passionate. And to be really blunt, your audience does not care. Right?
Yeah.
They just don't care. You've got to actually treat it, one, like a business in its own right or a revenue stream in its own right. And two, you've actually got to work out what's the change you're trying to create in the minds of your audience? Mm-hmm. Do that. Because just speaking about experience and ideas and your passion is not enough.
100%. I couldn't agree more. I went to a variety of events last year, and there were some people that, and I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are, they actually did move me. They had a great presentation. Yeah. They were absolutely brilliant. You got a little bit of water in your eyes. You're like, wow, that was good. But there was no post funnel, How do I stay connected with you? Are you on Instagram? Are you on LinkedIn? Do you have a book? Do you have a program? Can I buy a downloadable? Is there anything? Because it piqued my curiosity to the point that I was like, I'm actually happy to pay you something, but they almost just left me hanging. And I actually think that's a really bad thing to do when an audience is then primed, eating out of your hands. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, look, I'm almost like a broken record. I always say to people, I get that you just want to speak, but if people fall in love with you in the 30, 45, 60 minutes you've got on stage, where are you taking them? Where do they get to land? And I don't care if you don't want to grow a big business behind it, but if you don't, then you're actually crazy and we can unpack that later. But where are you getting them to land? So you need to have somewhere for them to land. And the amount of people who want to speak, say they speak, they've got no Instagram presence, they've got no LinkedIn presence. You don't have to have a presence across all of them, but have something that you dominate, right? Really? Got no YouTube presence. You can't find a speaker page. Someone said to me the other day, oh, you've got no speaker page on your website. I'm like, dude, I don't speak at the moment. I train speaking and there's 20,000 pages on that on the internet. So if you say you're a speaker, is it in your LinkedIn headline? Where are you taking people to? And if you don't have your own website, put a featured section in your LinkedIn profile where they can download something.
Totally, right? 100%.
And also, it's not just about this funnel. Like, there's a funnel, absolutely. And you're mad not to use this. It's the biggest, quickest funnel builder there is. But think about your audience. If you're putting so much effort in to take them somewhere, where do they get to land?
100%. And I also want to just tap on there. You mentioned something about, I can't remember the exact words, but what prompted me to ask you this next question is, I see a lot of people in different Facebook groups, even though at time of recording, my Facebook has been shut down. That's another story. But inside of the Facebook groups prior to that is I see a lot of people going, I'm a professional speaker. It's really hard to get gigs at the moment, but it's like they're solely dependent on getting the speaking gigs. And that's their only way of revenue. Their top of funnel has to keep working really hard to keep getting these gigs. But it's actually, there's more and more speakers. So I'm not saying you can't get gigs, but the competition, I believe, is greater than ever before.
It's greater and it's less. Finish the question. Yeah. But it's greater and it's less.
And so my thing is, it's like, when you don't treat it like a business, like what you initially started the conversation with, and that it's just one of the revenue streams you have, you're going to continue to have to work so hard to keep getting on these stages in order to be able to make your annual income, whatever that looks like. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so there's a couple of bits with that. And the first thing is, a lot of people call themselves a professional speaker and they're not. Let me give you the definition commercially of a professional speaker. A professional speaker means that you have been paid $50,000 or more for your speaking, not for what you generate, like into your business, but for your speaking. The designation that I hold, which is a certified speaking professional, you have been paid $400,000 for your speaking or your training, not for what you generate at the back end, but for your speaking or training. So a lot of people saying, I'm a professional speaker. So the first giveaway that someone is not a professional speaker is that they're finding it hard to get gigs.
Yes.
Number one, like it's an oxymoron that shows itself immediately. You're not a professional speaker. You are a speaker and there is nothing wrong with that. Conference programs, networking rooms, business summits, they are full of great speakers making great money. 100%. You don't have to be a professional. The second thing is that the heavy lifting, if you're doing heavy lifting, and there was an instance, we were at an event not long ago towards the end of last year, and the guy had the sponsor spot, the 10-minute sponsor spot of this event. And afterwards, he said, oh, the last one he was doing because it just doesn't work. Someone told him it's the best way to do it. He's been doing it for 2 years. He's invested a lot of time, money, and effort into it and just doesn't generate a lead. And we hear that story all the time. That's when it becomes heavy lifting. The reason it becomes heavy lifting is because you don't understand the mechanics. Yes. Just getting up and speaking, just getting up and talking about what you do, just getting up and painting a beautiful picture of everything does not move people to falling in love with you and wanting to spend money with you. Exactly what you said before. Like I was moved and wanted to spend money and I couldn't.
Yes.
But the opposite is true. 80% of speakers out there right now who say that they're speaking and it's really hard is because they don't understand. So it's not just their structure, their story. Google tells us there's 1.3 billion hits in 3 seconds if you ask a storytelling important business. We all know. And yet most people are still shit storytellers, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So there's all these things about persuasion and influence. You should finish a talk, whether it's 10, 20, 40, or 60. And I know you get this and I know I get this. You should finish a talk and people literally come running towards you and can't wait to work with you. If that's not happening, even in your 10 minutes, you're not a speaker, you're just talking.
Yeah, big differential point there.
Yeah, and really important.
Now, sometimes I ask questions that can make audiences feel a little bit uncomfortable. And my question that I want to ask next, though, is A lot of times people say wing it till you make it. Do you mean, or fake it till you make it or whatever? And I think that may have worked many years ago, but I think with the trust recession that we have at the moment, where with AI, and though it serves a purpose, but people are getting more and more, what's the word, further away from conversion than they are closer because of this trust and the winging it, I believe. Why is winging it now a reputational risk, not just a speaking mistake?
It's the biggest reputational risk there is right now. We are in a world of increasing personal brand, increasing AI content, increasing micro-influencers. And so you can't wing it, right? And the reason being is that, and people will say to me all the time, oh, I'm okay, I just wing it. People love how I am naturally. And I actually just think to myself, well, how much better could you be if you didn't actually wing it, if you actually took it seriously? But the reason why it's a reputation risk is we've got this rising academic epidemic of distrust. And we also have a more emotionally intelligent audience. We now have access to everything. We're watching TED Talks every day, watching YouTube every day. We're watching reels on TikTok from our favorite people. And our favorite people are no longer just someone in our neighborhood. It's like we're watching Cody Sanchez, we're watching Jane Gottlieb, we're watching Alex Hormoz, we're watching whoever it is that we admire and respect every single day, who are masters at communication. So most of us are not born with the principles of persuasion and influence embedded into our soul. Most of us had to actually learn them. So if you're winging it, you are actually not learning it, and you are inadvertently. So the biggest thing is you are inadvertently creating moments of disconnect just because you don't know any better.
Yes.
You are usually too much about yourself and not enough of the audience. Mm-hmm. This day and age, that gets you written off straight away.
100%. Right? Oh, yeah. Last year at the conference, and I know you were there, you're one of our speakers and you're a sponsor this year too, the year before, I looked at this person's slide deck because I review all the slide decks before we finalize everything. And this one particular person was just like asking for sex, do you know what I mean? On the first line before she introduced herself and what she did. And I was like, listen, I said, and I know my audience has a very high trust in me. I said, they're going to rip you apart and they will disengage within the first 30 seconds of this presentation. I said, it might work for other audiences, but my audience expects a high quality when they hit the stage. And she bantered with me about this. And I was like, listen, I'm not going to fight about this, but you've got to change this intro because it's like, it's going to be of detriment to your own reputation. And then you're going to say, oh, I didn't get anything from the speaking engagement, right? I was like, I'm telling you, so she did. And luckily it didn't mean paid off. But what I'm saying is that it's not just about you, and people get that so wrong in speaking.
And that's the thing. As soon as someone says, oh, I just wing it, and what you just mentioned there is perfect. Because if you're just winging it, you're not aware of the audience you're speaking to. You can't make those step changes and those adjustments and those tweaks, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're just winging it, it's 100% about you. Oh, I just wing it. Everyone loves me. I'm sorry. What in that sentence was about your audience?
100%. How did you take them from this to this? How did you want them?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
The whole objective of every time you speak from any platform should be to move people from where they are now to where they want to be, to where you want them to be, to where they never expected to be. And that's a deliberate move. Mm-hmm. You can't wing that at all. I'm trying not to swear here. I'm so passionate.
We do swear on here. Yes.
You know, so it's like literally you can't wing that. And if you think about it, I did a deconstruct of the Hormozy launch, and most people in our world will know what that was, $100 million launch. And we're talking about, oh, it was amazing. And it was like, and there was criticisms about whether he went for too long, too short. I don't care. And then I saw these mastermind groups popping up to deconstruct his slides and how he did it. I'm like, you are all missing the point. He and his wife went live to their community 3 times a day for 2.5 years. That was an orchestrated communication influence play over time. Yes. And do you think you can just go and wing it?
Mm-hmm. For one time. They've been, again, whether or not you look at winging it, orchestrated, whatever, if they went live for almost 1,000 days, they've also built the muscle of speaking, which 100%. Is even if they had no training per se, they still had repetition in, which is going to beat people who are just still winging it. They would have learned 100%. From their mistakes, reflected on their mistakes, etc. Now,
nothing beats reps.
100%. And the more you use your voice, the more you speak, and the more you have a structure, everything starts to fall into place. And this is why I think winging it can be detrimental. Now, I also don't want to be a hypocrite, because I have said on this podcast, though, I've had no formal training in speaking. However, I do believe that my career, my backgrounds, the master's degree and the almost probably close to $1 million in professional development over the years has contributed, do you know what I mean, to how I set my things up. Yes, but again, I've never done anything, so I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I also I don't think I've winged it though. I think that I've taken things that I've learned through different avenues and constructed different things, which isn't winging it, but it's still, I just like to be clear. Do you know what I mean? Because I never want my audience to be like, because, you said this one day, Ange, and now you're saying this. I'm like, let me be clear. That's what I mean by that.
But it lands me on something really important though, Ange, and that is people look at my background and my career. I was a high school dropout, homeless twice, all that sort of stuff. I learned by observing and by absorbing.
Yeah.
So that is exactly what, if you've done $1 million in personal development, you are so far ahead. The biggest thing that I have to do with the people in my programs, especially the more intense ones, like a paid speaker and that sort of stuff, and you've been to the showcase events of those. So the paid speaker program is an identity shift. And what people don't tell you about becoming a speaker, especially if you want to become a really professional speaker, whether it's you're getting paid for it or you're in demand because you've expertise, the thing you have to deal with on the way that nobody tells you on the brochure is if you have to deal with your devils.
Yes. Like
your demons will rise. Mm-hmm. Every time you get a bigger stage, you get your first opportunity. And for women, usually the first time they knock it out of the park and they hit all the things, that's when they're in most danger because imposter takes over.
Yeah.
It's the biggest personal self-development journey on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we have to hold a lot of space, which is why our intense programs are capped, because we have to hold the space for you to stare down your demons, do the work, and do the identity shift. So if you've done the amount of personal development you've done, which is similar to what I've done, mm-hmm. you are 80% of the way there.
Yes. Right? 100%. And I know later on, I was going to ask, but we could probably talk about this now, is when you think about the people who, the people, like, what would you say is the biggest mindset or strategic shift someone has to make from going, I'm going to talk about just in speaking in general, but then also speaking for free to being getting paid to use their voice, because we're on that track right now about identity shift and things like that. So for you, what's the biggest mindset or strategic shift someone has to make from speaking in general and then speaking for free to paid?
Yeah, so there's two things. So the first is the identity shift that everyone talks about in our big program is there was a moment when they said, I am a speaker, and it was embodied. It was no longer external to themselves. It became their identity. I am a speaker. And we're about to relaunch our business and our website. There'll be testimonials on it where, and every single one of them say that.
It's powerful.
That's the big change. Mm-hmm. And that's an internal thing. The second thing, and this is really important for when you're going from free to paid, right? People think they're selling themselves. You're not. Speaking mm-hmm. is a product. Mm-hmm. You happen to be the vehicle. You happen to be the voice. You happen to be the IP. But if you're speaking as a product, you are not selling yourself. The biggest block I see, particularly with women speaking, is, oh, I'm selling myself and it feels yucky. Get over that for a start.
Yes.
But secondly, you are not selling yourself. You mm-hmm. are selling a product. Your keynote is the product. Your workshop is the product. Your panel spot is a product. Your podcast, it's a product. And once we actually make that flip with everyone, I see them straight away putting monetary value on it and straight away saying they'll be able to ship it.
Yeah. No, so good. Because that's where I think, like, again, when you brought up the identity shift, is you do have to shed something in order, in my opinion, to get to where you want to. How do I say this? When you're telling your story on stage, when you have those identity shifts, it's even more powerful and they feel it even more, in my opinion, than when you don't push through and really look at the devil. And so when that's just my thought.
And it's because what we're looking for, and I've actually started to codify this, and there's a whole body of work coming around it, is we're looking for the moment of resonance.
Yes.
So resonance is vibrational. When you're in step, when you're in sync with someone else, right? And resonance is vibrational. And so we're actually deconstructing it. Yes, it's great to describe that there's a vibe and there's a hum and it's vibrational. But how do we actually deliberately create those moments of resonance? Because, and to get to those moments of resonance, and this is what I'm looking for in my sales calls. And when I'm talking to someone, like some people will say, you spoke to me for 3 minutes. How did you know that you could work with me? It's because I felt the moment of resonance. Other calls, I can talk to people for an hour and they never drop into that spot and they never get a glimpse of it. And so if you can't go there naturally, I can't get you there from a manufacturer perspective.
Yes.
And if you can't drop into even one moment of resonance in a 60-minute keynote, changes the game because the audience feel you.
Yes.
And once they feel you, mirror neurons fire off, they see the world through you. Like, it's so powerful, but most people skate through. And if you don't stare down your demons and you're not prepared to do the work, you're not prepared to do the identity level style, you will have a level of success through the mechanics alone. But it's getting to that ability to create these moments of resonance and connection that change the game.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And everything is energy. If you just look at, if we breathe energy, right? Everything is energy. That's a whole nother podcast. But yes, now one concept though, I do want us to rewind a bit though, is there's a concept that I know you talk a lot about, which is media first. So I'm curious to know, especially in the landscape of 2026, what does it actually mean to be media first? And why do you think this is the new model that people need to really start honing in on for experts, coaches, service providers, consultants, et cetera, in 2026? Before we continue with this episode, I want to ask you something. If someone asked you, are you a speaker? What would you say? Now, before you dismiss that, you're already speaking. You're speaking in sales conversations. You're speaking on Zoom calls. You're speaking in rooms where decisions are being made about your business. The real question isn't, are you speaking? But rather, are you still doing the talking without the payoff? That's why I'm excited to share our 2026 gold sponsor for my 3-day Women in Business Conference, Jacqueline Brooker, founder of the Business of Speaking. Jacqueline teaches founders how to turn their expertise into bookable assets, paid stages, and speaking-driven revenue streams. This isn't about hype or manifesting a keynote. It's about positioning, structure, and commercial strategy. If you've ever thought, I know my work is powerful, but I'm not landing the right opportunities, this is for you. Jacqueline has gifted my audience her free guide, The Paid Speaker One Sheet Swipe Files, showing you exactly how to position yourself so event organizers and decision makers see you as worth paying. You can download it now at businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. Again, that URL is businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. If you're ready to speak like your business depends on it, start here by heading to Jacqueline's URL, businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. Now let's get back to the episode.
Look, it came up last year in a couple of, because I have my own podcast and we were, I'm interviewing a lot of really high performing speakers from the US, which is just a different level, right?
Yeah.
And the ones that are really like skyrocketing have created, they changed their model and their mindset to be media first. And what I mean by that, whether they're on Instagram, YouTube, wherever they are, they're thinking themselves like a broadcast channel.
Yeah.
So they're thinking themselves like a broadcast media channel, but they are in control of that channel. Mm-hmm. And so Michelle Miller, who is the farm babe in the US, is one of them. Sam Demmer is another. And they have created, and what they do, so they actually have full-time videographers and editors on staff, not contracted, on staff going around with them. Everything is done as a media grab. Everything, right? Now, the reason why it's important is because media grabs cut through the noise. So if you're producing endless content and not getting traction, and we're about to see this change for us as well, the content is, there's something like 1 billion hours worth of content get loaded onto YouTube every day. You've got to cut through.
Yes.
And being media first actually really makes you think about what is going to get attention. And also, what is it actually people are listening out for? So the big thing from a speaking perspective is, you think media first, it's great for lifting your profile. And if you look at any author, any expert, any politician, any speaker that's getting really great traction, they're media first. It's an attitude. It's a way of being. But the other thing is, it puts you deep inside the mind of your audience. Because for media to get picked up, the audience has to love it.
Yeah.
And so that is the thing. And everywhere I look across any category, the ones who are standing out and skyrocketing their success, they have made that shift. Success leaves clues. And if we are going to be in, and the other thing with media first is, it's you, it's not AI, it's you. Because you're the one on video, you're the one, and I know AI can replicate stuff. We're not going to get, that's a whole another podcast as well.
Yeah.
But media first is grabs of you. It's real live. Think about these videographers behind you, almost like journalists.
Yeah.
And they're documenting things that are happening as they're happening.
Right? So my question is, and I agree with this, because at time of recording in a couple of weeks from now, I'll be able to be doing an entire day of videography, where we'll probably punch through about 30 different short form pieces of content in the day. That's the goal anyways. And I know that we did last year, 2025, and it worked exceptionally well. Yeah. Especially then we were able to use it for top of funnel and Facebook ads. Like, it's been a phenomenal thing. However, when you talk about media first, how do you differentiate between, say, the people that you've mentioned over in America who have a full-time people following them around versus me, who I don't necessarily want people following me around, but I'm happy to go into studio for a day, versus people that are going, I can't afford either of those things, but I agree with what you're saying. Where do I start with media first if I'm low budget, et cetera?
Great question. So first of all, choose the platform you're going to dominate. So YouTube or Instagram are the best to do, and then just repurpose across to LinkedIn. Yeah. Because this is the other thing as well. If you are a speaker, Instagram will give you your raving fans, but LinkedIn's where they book you, right?
Yeah.
Book and pay you. That's the distinction. Yeah. So choose which one you're going to dominate. Now, you don't have to be crazy. One of my clients put up about 30 things on YouTube, almost like podcast episodes with guests, wasn't going anywhere, had about 20 subscribers. She got frustrated. So she put her whole YouTube channel through ChatGPT. ChatGPT told her what to fix. And within 3 weeks of doing what ChatGPT told her to do, she was sitting at 4,500 subscribers. And it's now growing by 300 to 400 every week.
So good.
She had no money. She had no money. She did it off her laptop on Zoom recording, which is not the best recording, and then loaded it to YouTube. And then when it wasn't working, got ChatGPT. The other thing that, and I'm about to enter into this myself, is actually just getting disciplined. Like, we get disciplined with sales calls, we get disciplined with content, we get disciplined with delivery. Spend 20 minutes or an hour on a Sunday just planning out what the content is that you could speak to, and just speak to it on your camera and upload them. And if you're not sure, use Opus Clip, which gives you the viral extracts. Opus Clip costs you about $12 a month. So if you can't afford $12 a month, then get out of the game. And there's so many things that you can do, but all it takes is discipline. And it doesn't have to be like, I love doing the full day in the studio, like you mentioned. Like, when we were doing our conference last year, I went and did a full day in the studio, did all of the real content for it, right? But most of us can't do that. So just get disciplined with getting a little, you don't have to have even an hour. Just go, these are things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to spend 10 minutes every day just recording myself to phone. And again, they're going to get better and better at it. Make sure you've got a good light, make sure you've got a little lapel mic. And just do it over and over again. And if you're not sure about editing, just use Opus Clip and just get it out there.
And when you say, how do you spell that? So those listeners out there?
Opus, O-P, yeah, O-P-U-S.
Opus Clip. Okay, yep, perfect. Just because we have that to show notes. So, no, perfect, because those are always the questions, because I always say, meet yourself where you're at, where you can. And again, I still think that doing something most of the time is still better than doing nothing. And again, Alex Hormozi and his wife didn't start, do you know what I mean? Being polished and perfected. They had to start somewhere. And don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 30. Just start. I've been podcasting now for almost, I think we're going into our 8th year, for example. If I went back and looked at our first podcast, it would not be where I am today, but just over and over again, it's gotten better and better. I know how to ask better questions, how to speak more articulately, whatever.
Also, when it comes to speaking, and this is really important because we do look at these famous people. And so one of my colleagues that actually I call her friend, Elizabeth McCormick, is the highest paid motivational female speaker in the US. And she gets paid a fee that would make your eyes water, and she speaks 180 times a year. But her start was accidental. She was retired from the army, and the kids had Veterans Day at school, and they asked if mommy could talk.
Yep.
And then there was interest in that. And so she sat down with somebody who said, just get the reps in. So she decided to go and speak at every Rotary Club in the Dallas Metroplex, which I think has more Rotary Clubs than we have in Australia. It was 127 Rotary Clubs, and she spoke at every one of them. And you can only get 10 minutes in a Rotary Club, right? So instead of trying to create something amazing every time or a small version of a keynote, she used those 127 Rotary Clubs, and she would either rehearse her or practice her opening story or practice her closing story, because she only had 10 minutes. And those stories are the ones she uses today in her $35,000, $40,000 keynotes.
Yep, so good.
So she didn't start where she is.
Yeah.
And she could only get Rotary Clubs because she was a housewife who'd been in the army.
Yes. But again, start somewhere. Get the momentum. Totally. Put it out. Test. No, I just think it's so important, because we can always make up excuses. Oh, the lighting's not perfect. Oh, this isn't working. Oh, I'm overweight. Oh, I don't have the clothes.
Nothing beats action.
But it's like, nothing, you can just start, is what I say. Like, when I started the podcast, I had bought a $200 mic. I had no clue what I'm doing. I was like, press record.
pay someone to do it and let's just hope for the best. I would launch podcasts very different now, but it is what it is. You learn. All right, cool. Yeah. As you can see, Jacqueline and I can talk about a million things at all different times. But if we come back to the podcast for this particular one, I'm curious to know again with where we're going in 2026. And because our listeners are coaches, consultants, service-based owners who know deep down that speaking could be a growth lever for them, if someone wanted to become paid in-demand speaker over the next 12 to 18 months, based on the landscape and everything that we've just talked about, what should they actually focus on first?
Focus on first needs to be what is, if they think about their ideas, their stories, their experiences, what in that would actually, if somebody else knew about it, what is it in that if someone else knew could change their life or mm-hmm. their pathway? It's the starting point. So we have a thing called the focus map. It has four quadrants in it, and the top left hand side is all your experience. So that's your experiences, like what have you done, where have you been. The top right hand side is all of your knowledge, so that's your certifications, your studies, so like you have a master's, you have like all of those things, right?
Yep.
Then the bottom left-hand side is coffee questions. What are the people pick your brains for? What are the things that people pick your brains for?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right-hand bottom corner is what would you fight for? All the things you would fight for. Most people only have one or two.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of that is something that crosses all four, and that's actually what you should speak on.
Love that. What a great example. What a great exercise for people to be able to start mapping that out.
And that is actually your starting point. And once you get that, then it's about, okay, what is it about that thing that I know can make a good difference to other people if they knew about it? So you've got to then flip to your audience. Why would this matter to them? What is going on in their world? And the way I like to think about it is you tell me your topic is X. Okay, great. Is anyone on their laptop in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. typing into Google or ChatGPT looking for an answer to that thing? Are you the answer to a problem or are you just spreading ideas?
Ooh, that's a good one. Are you the answer to the problem or just spreading ideas?
And then invest, because you can't wing it. You're going to have to learn how to do this properly to stand out, to have influence, to have authority, to be able to convert from stage, all of those sorts of things. You're actually going to have to do something. And it's going to take time, money, or energy. All three usually. I had someone in one of our programs last year say, I feel like coming into this industry is like a pyramid scheme. I've got to turn around, I've got to get a better website, I've got to get this, I've got to do that. And I'm like, yes. And if you're buying a bricks and mortar business and setting up a retail shop or buying a franchise, how much would you be spending?
Exactly. Again, because if you're treating it like a business, there are certain things that you, in my opinion, as a business consultant, need to do in order to set the foundations to then be able to then hit a growth stage and then scale stage. Like, shit isn't free. And if you're going to do free, just know that it's going to take you a long ass time to get you to where you want. Because I don't know anyone, and you and I know quite a few people around the world. I don't know anyone who has done it for free and been able to expedite their growth. Not a single soul. No one.
Not one. Absolutely.
Actually, you know what? I would lie. The one person that I would say, but he said significant growth, is the guy on Instagram. I'd love to look at that, but I can't at the moment because I don't have it. Sam, he's an Australian. He grew his platform and he goes and finds people and then does GoFund. Sam, I can't remember.
But you know why that's gone crazy? Mm-hmm. Because it taps into a human emotion.
100%. But he asks people to send stories to him at a Hotmail account. Yeah. Bless him. And so, again, don't want to be a hypocrite, but it's like, he's literally the only one that comes to mind that he's like, he doesn't have a website. He uses social media that's free. He's used community, but again, he touches, like, I'm bawling my eyes out every time I watch him, but from, it's a good ball. Like, I'm like, God, I love this guy. He does such amazing work. But most people, no. And he's also not, I would say, he's not pulling a wage from this. This is about giving back to people. Totally different 100%. If he was charging for speaking and things like that. I love the guy though. Now, listen, as we start to wrap up, my friend, I still do have a few questions, specifically also as we look ahead with AI, specifically around short form content, and also with personal brands becoming more powerful than ever before. So if we were to look ahead at this over the next few years, how do you see the speaking industry evolving, and what will separate the speakers who thrive from the ones who get left behind?
So the speakers who thrive are actually going to treat it like a practice. And if I think about even within Australia, the really top speakers like Michael McQueen and that sort of stuff, it's a practice and a habit. What you're going to have to do is getting up to deliver a talk is no longer going to be enough. So if they can Google it or ChatGPT it or have AI write what you're going to say, it's not worth paying for on a stage.
Yeah.
So what will become important is not experience and ideas, but insights and solutions. The people who are going to be most in demand in the future are also going to be the sense makers and the synthesizers. So if you can sense make something that's going on, or if you can synthesize big parts of information and make it simple, they're the two categories they're going to win. And if you're actually a coach and particularly a consultant, you should be able to do that anyway, because that's actually what you're selling,
yes.
right? You're a sense maker and a synthesizer. So that's really important. The other thing is that it must be experiential. So experiential doesn't mean you have to have 5D animation and the holographics. Like one of my friends has this amazing holographic that jumps out of the ceiling.
So cool.
You don't have to have that. It's really cool. But also there's only a few AV teams in the world can do it, right?
Yes.
So you don't have to have this great big like interactive experience, but you need to know how to use your language to unlock people who are listening to you. And if you can't learn how to use your words to unlock the people in front of you, then you're going to be just part of the noise. You are also going to have to do women, particularly, and talk about why in just a moment, but you are going to have to be able to speak beautifully in person, powerfully in person, with all the principles of influence and persuasion, because the only way people are going to trust you in this AI-driven future is going to be to hear and see you physically in person. Mm-hmm. And if you can't pull that off, you are part of the noise. And for women, it's really important, because 83% of coders of AI are male.
Yes.
We are getting coded out of the system. So if you don't know how to use your voice in real life, you're screwed, like literally screwed. I cannot say that more strongly. The other thing is, last year in one of our programs, when I got the FSDs, we had this thing called the first shitty draft, because I don't want them perfect. When I got all of the FSDs, I had to reject all of them, because all of them had gone in to check their scripts with, and there's a reason we use scripts, don't get scared, had gone in to check their scripts with their AI, whether it's chat, Claude, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I could tell, because I went from these rough, raw things that had resonance all the way through it to the resonance was stripped out.
Yes.
And I've never had that before. So get the fuck off AI, getting ready for a talk or a speech. Use it to organize your thinking.
Yeah.
Don't let it touch anything else. Like literally, the one piece of advice I can give you in this AI world is get the fuck off AI when it comes to writing your speech.
I couldn't agree more, because I'm even starting to see it more and more, where it's almost like robotic. There's no resonance. There's no human connection. They're fumbling on their words, not just like fumble because of a slide. Like they just don't know what to say. They're
Correct.
Not owning their own story is what I'm seeing. They're creating another story that they think people want, but actually if you just remain true to your own authentic self, and I hate using the word authentic because I do think it's very cliche, but it's true, people have a deeper connection, the trust is there, and you're going to be able to get on more stages but also make more money.
So it's really interesting, because somebody I was watching yesterday talked about AI is creating this, if you look at a graph, like this straight line up, right, diagonal line going up at scale, and that's the AI world, and that's going to be the world. But straight behind it is going to be this new line of currency, which is authenticity. And they said authenticity is how to run rub, but actually the currency of the future world will be your authentic self. So if you don't build that skill, it's not going to happen. And if you're using AI in any way, shape or form for your speaking or your positioning, what's going to happen? So AI learns off the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you need to bell curve your audience. So what you want every time you speak, you want 10 to 15% at one end of the bell curve running towards you, raving fans can't get to you fast enough. You want 10 to 15% of the audience actually running away from you out of the room thinking you're a lunatic or, you know, they wasted their time. And then in the middle, you want in that curve bit, you want when you walk past people who go, oh, Ange, great presentation, really enjoyed it, but they don't come out of their way to find you.
Yeah.
What happens when you use AI? You have no chance of bell curving your audience, because AI puts you into the bell curve. It puts you into the average of the internet.
Yes. Yep.
So instead of bell curving your audience, you're allowing AI to bell curve you.
100%. And it bell curves you out of anything for the
Correct.
Future. Do you know what I mean? So yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, listen, we could talk so much more, but I know you have things going on, and there's a lot of things going on, but you've got a lot of awesome things that I know are going to help many people around the world this year. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious
so
to know
exciting. So exciting.
the listener out there who's listened, speaking's been on the, it's officially on the 2026 bingo card. I'm in, I want it. It's part of my growth strategy, but I'm not too sure where to get started. I highly recommend that you speak with Jacqueline. Jacqueline, what's going on in your world this year? How can people connect and learn from you in order to make sure that they are the answer to the problem and that they're not just speaking to ideas?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of different things. This is dropping right in the middle of our annual really big free masterclass series. But if you actually want to pop in, you will get the replay. That's number one. And that's the paid speaker shift, which is all the things we've been talking about today. But generally speaking, it is our podcast, Speaker Driven Business. And that is on all the platforms and people love it and inhale it and it changes what they do. So if you think you can't afford a coach, the first 57 episodes of that are literally me teaching.
So right? Good.
It's all there in the in for free in the interweb. And then the other thing we're about to open, it kicks off in April, is our annual signature program. And every single person that comes through this has that identity shift. We hold the space while they stare down their demons. They go from zero to being in market paying $7,500, $10,000 per keynote. And that's called Paid Speaker. And class of 2026 opens in April. We'll give you the links for the show notes. And if you're interested in that, just reach out to us and have a conversation. We've already got a couple of people from your world, Ange, coming into that, which is really exciting.
Yes, I know. Yes. And there's really a few more exciting. I know been talking in the mastermind. They're like, oh, we're just trying to make it work. Timing. Yes. Like I said, I don't bring on people who I don't recommend and that I don't trust. And if you're going to learn about speaking, I do highly suggest that you connect with Jacqueline.
Amazing. But yeah, that's what's coming up and there's more, but that'll get people started.
Again, and all these links will be in the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au. And obviously, if you're also on our mailing list, we'll be sending these out too. So just know that you've not get these links. Jacqueline, thank you again so much for being here today and sharing the new rules of speaking for 2026. And for those of you listening, if this conversation sparks something in you, maybe it's time to stop waiting and start using your voice more intentionally. Because being heard, remembered, and paid doesn't happen by accident. It happens by design. I hope you have a wonderful day no matter where you are in the world. And I look forward to you tuning in for another episode of the Angela Henderson Online Business Show. Thanks again, Jacqueline.
Thanks, Ange.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.